DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
I am so happy to be able to speak today. I don't think I've ever addressed this, but the scripture that came jumping out at me is not that we have loved God so much that he has loved us. And I think so often we preach that kind of an Aristotelian self-perfection, building in virtue, doing spiritual push-ups so as to get our holiness. No. You know, I really think this second reading in today's Mass, in 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 7th to the 10th verses, "My dear people, let us love one another, since love comes from God. And everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Anyone who fails to love can never have known God, because God is love. God's love for us was revealed when God sent into the world his only Son, so that we could have life through him. This is the love I mean, not our love for God, but God's love for us, when he sent his Son to be the sacrifice that takes our sins away. It is God who initiates the love for us. And so when we preach this love, it's not that I am loving God. It's God's love for us. And when I was particularly thinking about the children that would be listening to this, so often we've been told, you know, to be good and to be good children, to be holy children. Your ability to be good and to be holy, only Jesus who is in you. Jesus is in you and wants you to live with his life, which is in you. How can you do this? I have seen it done. It's not that you're going to shovel your grandmother's walk when she has snow on it and you're going to be glad to do it, or go over and help your grandmother, or what you have to do. You know, the burden isn't on you. This morning, when you're listening to this, it's you have Jesus in your heart. And Jesus in your heart wants you to love as he loves. Through him and with him in you, you can love. Now, I have seen this absolutely with children. You know, I knew this little boy, Eddie Walsh. I knew Eddie to be a loving boy and a kind boy. But when he got cancer and when he had to go to the hospital, I gave him a little Bible. And he used to read it all the time. He would say it to his nurses, and he would say it to some doctors that would come in, and it would just come from him, 8, 9 years old. And he played a guitar, and he would used to play for the children. From his chemo, all his hair came out. Was he just worried because he had a bald head and he was looking so skinny? Some kids get so upset because I don't look like everybody else. I don't know. he was just so filled with Jesus. You know, he had been in a trial. They had shot his dad. That's very traumatic. And then he recognized the three people who shot his dad at the trial, and they were convicted and went to jail. And just as he was dying, they came along and they wanted the Make-A-Wish Society. What was his wish? He wanted to go back to Nashville, Tennessee, to the jail there, and tell those men that he loved them and he forgave them for shooting his father. And he wanted to tell them that because he said, in a little while, I'm going to die, and God's going to have to forgive me what I have done. I saw Jesus in Eddie. I saw Jesus in my little sister who sacrificed her life for me. I see Jesus in you, and you have a capacity, not that you love God, but that, listen to what God is saying, God's love for us was revealed when God sent into the world his only Son so that we could have life through him. This is the love I mean, not our love for God, but God's love for us when he sent his Son to be the sacrifice that takes away our sins. When you were baptized, when you received your first communion, Jesus is in you. And if you're confirmed, Jesus is in you. You can love as Jesus loves. And especially if you're hearing this as a married person with regard to chaste love of husband and wife, you have a capacity as a husband to love your wife as Christ loves her. It's the Christ life in you. We so often leave unexplored the magnificent graces of matrimony, the love of a husband for his wife, the chaste, exclusive, exhaustive, everlasting love that's in the heart of a man. That love is in you in Christ. The thirst, the desire, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit toward her that you have, you can never exhaust. I have a cousin, and his wife has Alzheimer's, and he's living this sacrificial love. When he talks, how much he loves her. And she doesn't even know his name now. As they're together, he just keeps giving 100%. And he loves her now more than ever. It isn't like he's just putting up with it. He's experiencing that Christ love for his wife through him because she is his spouse. How often this challenge comes. There's a young man who was a paraplegic, and he is such a magnificent example, but it's his parents, really. His mother and his father. He's the only son. He was a magnificent swimming star on the national team. And they were looking forward to this son of theirs, who was probably going to be one of the most outstanding swimmers, and God knows what his future was going to hold. When at 20, he was in college, and he was diving in to save somebody, and somebody jumped on him and broke his back, and he became paralyzed, and he's just sitting there now. Eddie has a great opportunity to love God, but his parents are so dedicated. Every place he goes, everything he does, he has to be cared for by his loving father, by his mother, totally consumed in caring for this child. And here he is, Jesus in him. This love that he's talking about is an everlasting love. It's a love that's exhaustive because it's the cross. It's a sacrificial love. John ends with, to be the sacrifice that takes away our sins. Nobody could love like that except Jesus. Jesus is in every human heart. Jesus is in every human heart. And when you were baptized, Christ is in you. That the love that God has for all of mankind is in you. And so when we read in the gospel today, and I'll read from the 15th chapter of John, the 9th to the 17th verses, listen to the power that's in you. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my own joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." In you, Jesus dwells. You have a capacity to love your wife, to love your children, to love your brothers and sisters, to love your neighbor. If you're a single person and you're baptized, you can love your nieces and nephews with such a power, with such a grace. You are committed in Christ to love as he loved. You don't have to be married to have that love. Maybe your calling is to be a single person in the world. If you're a priest, that love is in you for your people. Who is your spouse as a chaste spouse? Christ is in you, and you can love your bride just as he loves the church. It's not your virtue that you're building. It's not what you're exercising. Like, this is not philosophy or an Aristotelian virtue that we're talking about. It's Christ's love. As the Father has sent me, I send you. It's not your love for me that really matters. You may or may not love God, but that's not as important, is it? As his love that is in me for me, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, and through you, I will love others. How we misuse, limit, control the power that is in us. And it is not ours to control. The power of the Spirit, who is being sent to us, has a plan. We have to consult every day, what is your will? And so when we at our Mass every day are calling by the words, it's formed by divine teaching, and therefore we pray, the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The discernment of that will, it's not just for the Mass, it's 24 hours a day. What is your agenda for today? How important it is that you take your agenda and you put it before the Lord and say, is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to do? Is it here? What is it you want me to do? To consult the Lord about what his will is rather than what I'm going to do for you. It's not my love for you, God. It's not what I'm going to do for you. It's what you're going to do through me. And there's a whole mindset that puts us less and less in control and more submitting to the Holy Spirit in what he wants of us. And this whole area of discernment of what he wants done, what the Father wants done, is so powerful an outpouring at this time of the year when the Holy Spirit guides us, directs us, leads us into that fullness of the establishment of the kingdom in the whole world. When Jesus left the earth on Holy Thursday, which is going to be coming up this week. And when he goes back to the Father, and for the next 10 days, this preparation that the church is making, we, at this time of the year, have to contemplate more deeply to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Not what I am going to do for this next year of Pentecost, but what does he want me, you, the church to do in the world today? When the Acts of the Apostles, when they opened themselves up to the Spirit, the power, the evidence and the witness that they gave in those first centuries, the suffering that they had to go through, the beating that they took, Paul, Peter, the apostles, the disciples, all of them, under the siege of the world wanted to crush them and destroy them. And it just couldn't, because they were fighting against not them, but God in them. So that now through them, the whole world began to be changed. For three centuries, they really couldn't even get together as a church. It was patches here and there. But they had so entered into society that they woke up and they said, the world woke up and was Christian. They completely converted the Roman Empire. When I was in Belgium and I saw all those churches empty, like museum pieces, 2% or whatever it is of the Belgians go to Mass. What is happening here? How important it is today for all of us to hear, I am in you. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And so, who are you, children of God? Who are you, husbands and wives? Who are you, priests, or whoever you may be? God is in you, and you are in him. And on this Sunday morning, when you are celebrating the Eucharist or wherever you may be, God is in you. It's not your love of God. It's God's love in you. Allow him. I used to ask Mother Teresa, I'd be on retreats with her, and I would say to her, Mother, how can I pray for you? She would always say the same thing. Pray that I don't interfere with what God is doing. I don't interfere with what God is doing. She was so aware that everything that was done through him in her. The same is true of you. Many of us simply hinder what God is doing. To just step out of the way, to allow him who is in us to work through us. He is in me, in you, in the church. And he wants to reflect himself. When he does, it's usually that love will be sacrificial. It will be exclusively for God. And it will be everlasting. God's love is evidence and witness through us. And when the cross gets very heavy, and when life gets most difficult, that's when he takes over most powerfully and carries our burden for us, in us, and through us.
Monsignor?
Yes.
When you were speaking about the importance of discernment, that in this paradigm, this attitude, how we are to approach this, it's different for many, because we've always thought maybe that it's what I have to go do good things. I need, if I'm doing good things, then I'm doing what God wants, because, well, obviously it's a good thing. And yet, what I hear you saying is that what we have to do is get out of the way, allow him to do what he needs to do, and how we're going to know it's him is one of the ways, one of those tests is this an action that's steeped in virtue, as opposed to something that might be, as we're moving towards it, am I doing this because it feeds something in me, like it feeds a pride, or I'm feeling proud that I'm doing this, or I'm going to be getting a reward for doing this. Am I making sense?
Yes, yes, completely. And I think that's the way we've been preaching holiness. It's what I do. It's my virtue. And I think many of us who have studied Aristotle or that kind of virtue are really teaching Aristotelian principles and has nothing to do with the faith. This is exclusively God. This is not philosophy. And this is not building up virtue. It's not my doing anything. God is the source of all good, the font of all good. And as we begin one of the Eucharistic celebrations, is God is the font of all holiness. And how can he be the center of it when I get in the way? That Jesus suffered and died and rose, and we're celebrating his resurrection now, but he's going back to heaven, and he's about to do that. In the gospel, he's in the Last Supper discourse, is he's about to go back to heaven. And I'm leaving you, and I will send you the Holy Spirit, who is going to come to you. And his Spirit will show you how to live in me, and he will reveal this to me. So even with the coming of Pentecost, and even with the way the church has presented us with the Acts of the Apostles, we are still preaching, I can do it. No, you can't. And the only one who ever did it was Jesus. The only one who can do it now is Jesus. And that Jesus lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit in your baptism. So if you're a baptized Christian and Catholic, when you preach to the people today, fathers, what are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them, let God's radiant love show through you. It's not your love of God, dear parishioners, nor my love of God, is his love that's in you. And so I think the teenagers will begin to fill up the churches again when they begin to realize that I need Jesus, because I think every child wants to be good to his parents. I really do. There's an instinct there. But not when it comes to sacrificial love, you'd rather lay in bed, you'd rather be served, you'd rather be waited on, and there's some kind of selfishness and self-centeredness, no matter who you are. We used to have juniors in high school go on mission, and when they would see in a foreign country and the poverty and the disease and the suffering, they would come home completely changed, because they realized what God had given them. And they because what did they do? They sacrificed and went to the missions, and they became sacrificial more and touched by it. What we really do need, I think, for teenagers is the awareness that you really are a lazy slob, very self-centered, and that's what you're going to be. If you don't have Jesus, who is your source of holiness, and he is in you, and you just have to let him pour himself through you for you to be holy and united with him as a girl, as a boy.
Well, and Monsignor, you've worked with youth throughout your priesthood, and
yes,
and you're aware that in parishes all across the country, there are those who oversee confirmation programs, and they try to have the kids experience, just as you said, to encounter the poor so that they can begin to have this awareness. And they do, but then they come back into their homes, and that seed isn't nurtured only because they don't see their parents exhibiting the same type of awareness that they experienced, and it kind of withers on the vine, only because when they go back into that home, and then the parents wonder, well, why aren't my kids active, vibrant Catholics?
And that's why I think I want to talk to the parents too today, that you have no capacity to love your wife as Christ has. If you surrender to that, if you step aside and allow Christ to radiate through you, you can begin to love your wife as he does. And you can love your husband as Christ loves your husband. And that sacrificial love, that, and many times there's such a challenge, you know, as it was with this cousin of mine, Sam. His wife has Alzheimer's. He has to give 100%. And the only one that can do that, and that's what I see, and encourage him. Let Christ love, and he does. And the joy he has in sacrificing himself, and what kind of love is he? It's a sacrificial, exclusive, and what is he hoping for? One day, when we get to heaven, she's going to know, my spouse, how much I loved her. Because right now, she doesn't know. But I, in Christ, can love her this way. But only in Christ can I have this kind of love. And so how many marriages on an everyday basis, so that when those kids who learn sacrificial love can learn it from their dads. And, you know, that's that whole thing about the self-centeredness of their parents. That's what's happening. Their self-centered parents, when they see that, they see that they really don't love each other. And there is no capacity there for them to love one another except in Christ. And that's the image that we have of Christian marriage. And that's the image that you'll project to the children. And that's the image that your family will project to the world. The Sacred Heart, when he becomes the center of your home, the center of your heart, the center of your family, can become the center of the parish or in the center of the world eventually, because that's who he is. He is Jesus. And he does hold the whole world. When I think of him now, and Pentecost especially, sending us out into the whole world, he's sending me out into China. He's sending you out into India. He's sending us out into the whole world, to all the nations. How can we do this? We can't. We can't. He can. The Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can bring the entire universe, because he alone is God and he alone is the Savior. God bless.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.